Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, middle of the night, and welcome back to Cases of Color. You guys, I just want to say a big thank you. I have so much gratitude to everyone who's been listening to the podcast, sharing the podcast, reaching out to me on social media, people who know me, people who don't know me from a can of paint. You all have given me such a warm reception for my coverage on just two episodes. And I just want to definitely extend my gratitude to all of you for joining me here in Cases of Color and most of all, coming back. To all my new followers, welcome. I cannot wait to take you on this journey into true crime with me, covering cases of the marginalized that are often sometimes forgotten too much. Another thing, if you are not following Cases of Color on social media, what are you doing? Okay, find Cases of Color on Twitter at Cases of Color and on Instagram at Cases of Color. I am also going to start doing update episodes. They will be kind of my filler episodes sometimes when I'm a little bit busy, but I think it'd be cool to find updates. Some people have sent me some really good articles and things that I want to look into a little bit more information on the cases I've colored, and I think cases I've covered to give a little bit of insight on kind of what the current standings of these cases are. And of course, if anything is ever found out, if we find somebody who's missing, if the truth comes out about a case, I will be more than happy to post that. And if I don't get it up and going on here, I would definitely post it on my social media. So that's why it's very important to follow. But now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get into today's episode of Cases of Color. Today's episode of Cases of Color is going to be about Relisha Rudd. She went missing in 2014 and she has never been seen since. Relisha Rudd was an 8-year-old girl. Relisha had a hard life. She was living through hell every single day of her life up until the time she went missing. At no point did she have it easy, but one thing that had always been said about Relisha is how big her personality was, how loving she was, and how very smart she was, and how even with everything that she had going on, she always came to school with a smile and a positive attitude, and she was always a joy to be around. Relisha, at the time of her disappearance, was living in the DC General Homeless Shelter. It was run out of an old hospital that was across the street from a morgue and a methadone clinic. It was supposed to be a temporary situation for the homeless family crisis in DC. However, there were approximately 600 children staying there, and the shelter was unkept, to say the least. There were reports of there being rats, bed bugs, raccoons in closets and bathrooms, heating outages, and other insects as well. Relisha would ask to stay late at school, and she did not want to go back to the shelter. She literally called it the trap house. She would even pretend to be sick so that she could stay with other family members and not be at the shelter. Relisha would get to visit with her aunt as well as visiting with her grandmother. So whenever she would go there, it was like an escape to her to be there. So anything that she could do to stay there longer and prolong her stay and avoid going back to the shelter, she was willing to do it. Whether it's just pretending to be sick, faking the asthma attacks, you name it. She just did not want to be there. And her mother had a history of not maintaining a safe environment for her children, from multiple evictions, spending weeks in motels, apartments that were susceptible to gunfire and gun violence, and then months on end at the homeless shelter. Child Protective Services had been involved in Relisha's life since she was 2. There was an incident where Child Protective Services were called to the home when Relisha was 2 years old because there were some injuries that were on Relisha that were kind of unexplained, but also didn't look like a typical injury that you would see on a 2-year-old. However, upon further investigation, Child Protective Services determined that since they could not figure out where the injuries came from, that they just had to let it go, that allegedly they could not prove that it was actually from abuse, even though they also could tell that these were interesting injuries for someone who was only the age of 2 years old. So with 3 separate incidents of reported neglect and abuse on top of the police being called on the mother at least twice, to include while they were staying at the shelter, She would at times go to school dirty and they would keep clothes for her there and have to clean her up before class started. She would show up with dirty hair. She would be smelly when she got there. But her teachers always went out of their way to take care of her. They knew that Relisha really needed them. And another thing that Relisha really needed was, again, some type of way to stay away from the shelter. And fortunately, Relisha was involved in an after-school program called Children's After-School Play Program. It gave kids a chance to play, do art, activities, sing, dance, act, and all types of things instead of having to go straight home after school. And Relisha loved this program because, like I said, she hated going home. She would do anything to keep from going back to the shelter. There was even an incident where she would kind of hang around school and walk around, and she would run into the security guard and she would ask, you know, do I have to go home? And unfortunately, the security guard would have to say, you know, sweetheart, you cannot stay. And there was even an incident where Relisha and her brother were left very late after school. A teacher went to a field trip, came back, and it was way after school had closed, and Relisha and her brother were still sitting there outside the school waiting for their mother. And the teacher offered to take them home. So she called Relisha's mother, and Relisha's mother basically said to mind her business. And Relisha's mother then contacted the school and said that she permitted her children to walk home. So the kids were allowed to walk home. And this was never substantiated fully. However, that same teacher said that later on that evening, Relisha and her brother were picked up by the police because they were found at a laundromat way late after hours. And Child Protective Services, again, had to look into what they did and what was happening. So I say all of that about Relisha's life to kind of give you an idea of a lot of the things that this young girl had been through in just 8 years in her life. She had not been on the earth very long, yet she had seen and experienced a level of neglect and a level of poverty that, in my opinion, no child should ever have to deal with. So what happened to Relisha is she stopped coming to school for about a little over 19 days. And her mother told the school that she was having a medical issue and that she was under the care of a Dr. Tatum. And the school became very concerned about Relisha. The mother even went out of her way to bring doctor's notes up to the school. And the school wanted to have a meeting with the doctor to discuss what was wrong with Relisha in the first place. When it came time for the meeting, there was no Dr. Tatum to be found. Her mother was not there either. And that's because Dr. Tatum did not exist. Relisha was reported missing shortly after this all came to light. And it turns out that Relisha hadn't been seen for about a month. And no one had reported her missing, nor was she sick with a condition. So on 19 March, Child Protective Services went to the shelter that Relisha lived at, and they decided to ask around about Relisha and if there was anyone by the name of Tatum or if anyone was familiar with a Dr. Tatum at the shelter. And the only person with the name Tatum was a Khalil Malik Tatum. He was a 51-year-old janitor at the shelter. Khalil Tatum was known for being very friendly with the shelter residents and especially with the younger girls, most of all with Relisha. But according to Relisha's mother, Tatum was referred to as a godfather to Relisha. He took a lot of special interest in Relisha. He spent a lot of time with her while they were at the shelter. And he also took her away from the shelter frequently just by herself. Not her and her siblings, just Relisha by herself. He bought her a tablet for Christmas. He even took Relisha to see Disney on Ice. He would take her on solo trips and take her to get her nails done, or she would come back with a new outfit. All types of things that you would think a godfather figure or someone in that position would do. But Tatum was not exactly what everyone thought he was. Tatum was a felon. He had a pretty long rap sheet, and he had also shown interest in younger girls before. But regardless of all these facts, Relisha's mother allowed Relisha to go with Tatum and even spend the night with him. Her mother alleged that Relisha was going with him to his grandmother's house. even though she had never been there herself, and her mother said that she felt comfortable around him, that everyone liked him, so she was never worried about him being around Relisha. Again, they considered him to be Relisha's godfather, and her mother, Shamika, looked at Tatum like he was family. When asked where Relisha was, her mother told the police that Relisha was with her grandmother this entire time. She said that she had no phone to contact her mother, and that's why it took her so long to report her missing. Mind you, her mother never reported her missing, but this was her alleged excuse as to why she didn't think to check on her child. Now, I couldn't imagine sending my child to my mother and almost a month going by and I don't say anything. On top of the fact, it turned out the saying that she thought Relisha was with her mother is completely untrue, because Relisha's mother never had Relisha at any point in time while she was missing. Then it got to a point where Relisha's mom started to say that the grandmother had something to do with the disappearance of Relisha and that she was the one who was writing the fake doctor's notes. But when the grandmother was questioned, she turned the blame right back around on Shamika. And she blamed Shamika for allowing Relisha to spend so much time around Khalil Tatum. The only issue with this is that it's a bunch of finger pointing, because there's nothing either party can do to substantiate the claim. There's also nothing the police can do to substantiate the claim either. There's footage of Relisha with Tatum on 26 February 2014 at a Holiday Inn Express in Washington, D.C., and it shows Tatum and Relisha going to a hotel room, and this is allegedly the day that Relisha's mother handed off her daughter, but she denies doing so, and again, there is no way to prove that she gave her daughter to Tatum. On 1 March, there's footage of Relisha at another hotel room with Tatum, and this is the last time that Relisha has ever been seen alive. Although the police will not release if Relisha was seen on camera walking out of the hotel room, they have chosen to keep that detail a secret for what they say is investigative purposes. What we do know is that one day after the footage, Tatum goes to a hardware store and buys a package of 42-gallon trash bags. On 19 March, when they went to the shelter to look for Tatum, they found out that he had left his shift early that day, and that evening he checked into a Red Roof Inn and went to his room with 4 people. None of them have been said to be Relisha. So on 19 March, whoever he went into this hotel room with, no one says that they saw Relisha with him at that time. And less than an hour later, only 3 people leave that room. On 20 March, Khalil Tatum's wife's body was found in that same hotel room in Maryland. And her body was found in bed with a gunshot wound to the head. Surveillance showed Khalil and Andrea going into the hotel room that evening, but only one of them came out. And once they identified the body as Andrea Tatum, Khalil's wife, they immediately put out a bolo. And if you don't know what a bolo is, it means be on the lookout for Tatum himself and his vehicle. And they formally charged Tatum with the murder of his wife. However, they don't really make too much mention of his possible involvement with Relisha. 11 days after Andrea Tatum was murdered, on March 31st, Khalil Tatum was found dead in a shed outside of a Washington, D.C. park from an apparent suicide. The weapon that he used to shoot himself matched up with the weapon that was used to kill Andrea Tatum, so it was a murder-suicide. The worst part about finding him this way is that now we have absolutely no idea where Relisha is. To this day, there are absolutely no leads on where she might be. We genuinely have no clue and kind of no foundation on where to start. No physical evidence or other things like that. In 2017, Relisha's mother went on the Steve Wilkos show with her boyfriend and her mother, and they took a lie detector test about Relisha's appearance, and the lie detector results were very, very interesting. Her boyfriend was found as having nothing to do with Relisha's disappearance and that he had never harmed her or assaulted her in any way, shape, or form. The grandmother's results came back and she was telling the truth as well when they asked her if she gave Relisha to Khalil Tatum or if she had anything to do with what happened to Relisha. So her results came back as her telling the truth. And I know some of you true crime buffs out there are going to be like, well, Randy Bum, lie detector tests cannot be substantiated in court. You're right. They cannot. And I will admit, there are ways that you can manipulate a lie detector test. There are ways that you can remain extremely calm if you're a pathological liar, a narcissist. There are aspects of a lie detector test that can be cheated. I 100% agree with that. I also often question the validity of the Steve Wilkos show. To me, it's a very sketchy show because people go on there and they talk about things that I just can't imagine people being comfortable talking about in a public forum where you could then be possibly prosecuted for what you are doing. It just doesn't really make any sense to me. Nevertheless, these are the alleged results of those lie detector tests. However, the reason why I talk about this incident on them going on the Steve Wilkos show and why it's interesting to me is because the mother refused to take a lie detector test. She would not take one whatsoever. She was very defensive and she used a line that she had used very often, which was, God knows the truth. God knows the truth. That's been like her catchphrase. If you watch any interview with Relisha's mother, that's been like, God knows the truth. God knows the truth. And she was very defensive and she said, I don't have to take a test. I'm not going to take a test. Everyone took one but her. And her boyfriend thinks that she had something to do with it, which why he's still with her, I have no idea. And on top of that, her mother also feels like she has something to do with it. Because I can't lie, as a mother, I would also question, why are you just letting your child go off with this man? Like, what is going on here? This is not okay. And like I said, even though I question the validity of the show, there's also still the choosing to go on there. And being that the Relisha Rudd case is a real case, I do believe it was a conscious decision to go on there, whether I think it was a good decision or not. I do think she consciously chose to go on there. So at the time that Relisha went missing, her case did not receive proper coverage. It was known locally and within the DC area, but the media received a lot of backlash for not covering Relisha's case and for her not receiving the national coverage that she deserved, being such a small child. And when a child goes missing, we typically see more coverage, except for when the faces of that child looks different. And in the case of a marginalized Black homeless child, the public interest was very few and far between, in my opinion. And I still feel like the fact that we still see the cases of little Kaylee Anthony, God rest her soul, little JonBenet Ramsey, God rest her soul, but we don't see more cases about children like Relisha Rudd, those poor children that did not come from well-to-do families, that did not come from white families, that were living in homeless shelters and were the unloved and the untaken care of. It's really heartbreaking to me because I feel like any missing child deserves the level of media coverage we have given to these other cases, especially a case like this where there are so many unknowns, there are so many suspicious things going on here. Why are we not hearing more about Relisha Rudd? So before I get into my final thoughts on this case, I really want to touch on some theories that are had about this. And again, these are just theories. These are just theories, some even from my own mind, because I can't think of any other logical reason as to why we have not found Relisha or her remains or anything of that nature. I think that it's a possibility that, unfortunately, Relisha was sold into sex trafficking shortly after Relisha was missing. During that time period before the police were on her tail, her mom posted photos on Facebook with wads of cash and pictures bragging on all the things that she bought for Relisha's brothers with no mention of Relisha. Mind you, she was living in a homeless shelter. If you have all these wads of cash, why are you living in a homeless shelter? On top of all of that, you're all of a sudden buying things that you were not buying before, that you could not afford before. You have big wads of cash that you never had before. All of a sudden, you have them in the same time period that your daughter is missing. and you have not reported her as missing, and you've been lying when they do the nightly check-in at the homeless shelter on how many people in your room. You're counting Relisha in the count when you know that she is not there. So I think it's possible that the mother, by way of Tatum, sold her child into sex trafficking, or even possibly sold her child to Tatum, which then, you know, used her for other purposes. And that goes into my next theory. There's a possibility that Tatum was sexually exploiting Relisha, and that he was pimping her out to other people. And that is why he took her so often. And that's possibly why when his wife found out about what he was doing, he killed his wife and eventually killed himself. Kind of in a, like, the jig is up type of deal. I can't carry this on, this lying anymore, because I've been caught type of thing. Also, another theory, or just kind of a question that I have, is who were those three unknown people that went with Tatum to that Red Roof Inn? One of the people returned back to the hotel room but wasn't allowed to go in, and he had a solid alibi. He was somebody who just knew Tatum and was helping him look up guns and also helping him download images to an iPad. And that was it. And the images, again, they didn't give too much detail on that. I don't know if it's for investigative purposes. But the other two people who were with Tatum, no one knows who they are. They have never been found. No one knows who they are whatsoever. Who are they? Did they see Relisha? Did they take Relisha? Did they do something to her? Why is the anonymity of these person just still all over the place? Again, we do not know who these people are, and I feel like we need to find out who they are, because I feel like they know something, and someone knows where Relisha is. And the other option is that the other theory is that he killed her, that he was possibly doing things that were inappropriate, and for whatever reason he killed her. The only thing is, though, that we don't have any remains. Nothing has been found of Relisha. Even when his truck was found, there was no physical evidence that alluded to a dead body, that alluded to blood, luminol tests. There was nothing that alluded to Relisha being dead or that something like that occurred to her. So that's it. This is the very sketchy, detailed, missing story of Relisha Rudd. She was a sweet 8-year-old girl. Very smart, very well loved by anyone who came in contact with her, and she is still missing. There is no proof that that little girl has passed away. She is still missing. So it is very important that we stay alert, that we share Relisha's story, that we do a service to her the way a service was not done to her, by getting her case out there, by sharing the information. If you know anything, the number to call is 202-727-9099, and I will leave that in the description box. And the FBI is giving out a $25,000 reward to anyone with a substantiated tip about Relisha Rudd, and you can contact them at 1-800-CALL-FBI. Again, these numbers I'm putting out there are for genuine tips, you all. Please do not consider stuff like this a game. Please remember that there are still people in Relisha's family that love her, that are genuinely looking for her, and the last thing we want to do is put out any false hopes out there. So please make sure that if you are going to use a number like this, that you're using it because you genuinely have information that will be helpful and beneficial to the case. Please join me on at Cases of Color on Twitter and Instagram so we can continue the conversation about Relisha. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know your theories, and I want to know how you all feel about this case. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining me on another episode of Cases of Color, and I look forward to talking to you again.